You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us, and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week, this show will address many ways of creating greater health, joy, and love for you and your loved ones. And we will introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, I'd really appreciate it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward at least one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know who can benefit from today's subject. And I guarantee you, after you watch this or listen, however you're doing this, you'll know that there is somebody out there that can benefit from this. And I also want you to know that this is one powerful way that we can make a positive difference together. Now, before we get to our guest, please know that I am grateful for all of you that take your precious time to listen to or watch this show, especially those of you that send in questions, comments, reviews, and suggestions. Because remember, this show exists for you. Now, if you haven't gotten your free copy of the Attitude of Gratitude Journal yet, please go to our website at answers.network and download a copy. Give it 21 days and comment on whatever platform you listen to us on, what focusing on gratitude has meant for you and your family. Now, a quote for today, although not from the journal, it is by me and I believe fitting for today's show. Authentic kindness is the most powerful and yet most underrated facilitator of human change. And it doesn't cost a thing. Now, if you haven't heard of our guest by her name, you may have heard of her as the Anxiety Warrior. Elke Schultz is a registered psychotherapist, an internationally registered expressive art consultant, and an internationally certified EMDR therapist. She is the author of Loving Your Life, which containing over 40 creative exercises as an ebook and in paperback. She is also an affiliate author for Project Happiness. Her work includes creative anti-anxiety and wellness kits for employees, at-risk youth, and seniors for managing anxiety and depression. She has spoken and facilitated at numerous conferences, as well as on radio and television. For over 35 years, Elke has helped people through her books and her private therapy practice. I am thankful that she is with us here today. So, Elke, welcome to Answers Network.
Thank you so much, Alan. It's just such a pleasure to talk about my passion and share it. And yes, absolutely share strategies that will help us moving forward and thriving, having a great life.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I love about the book is that there are strategies, there are things that you can look at, speaking to all of us, the viewers or potential readers, that you can look at something and go, this one fits perfectly for me. Or you look at another one and go, you know, that one may not fit for me, but it fits for my spouse or it fits for my child. So I love that. I love the fact that it really seems like it spoke to everybody.
Well, and that was my intention to create a smorgasbord. And just exactly what you say, Alan, is we're all different. Each body is individual and we can present ideas, and it sometimes is a bit challenging of which one is the one that's going to work for us. And hopefully we'll talk about that today, how you can pick and choose.
And before we get to that, tell a little bit about yourself and how you got to the place you are today.
So I'll try and keep that short. And I actually have anxiety. I manage anxiety myself. And, you know, growing up, it wasn't something we talked about. It wasn't something that was out there. I remember I used to have headaches as a kid. I had migraines. I felt sick. And of course, it was before a test or a project was due, but we didn't talk about it like that. As a teenager, I felt odd, I suppose. And I also stuttered, and sometimes I still switch my words a little bit. And part of that is a very mild dyslexia, which again, wasn't something we really talked about. And so growing up as a young adult, thought I was hiding this big secret and, you know, putting out this picture facade of what I hoped to be. And inside there was this turmoil and this anxiety that was debilitating at times. And so when I came to some ideas and wanted to change my life, because I'm a healthy person, I have two great kids and you know, a full belly, so feeling very fortunate. However, I wasn't feeling that way. So it was a big journey on changing my mind and enjoying what I have. And of course that taps into your gratitude attitude, and which I totally, you know, we can talk about, has changed my life, is one of the quickest, strongest ways to change your world and manifest, you know, what life you want to thrive in.
Well, you mentioned stuttering, and yes. That was very interesting. No, it was very interesting to me because I also stuttered as a child. And I think at that time, if you would have said to those people at that time, so what do you think Alan's going to end up doing someday? I don't think they would have said hosting a podcast for 12 years or even working as an international detective where you need to speak to people. I was much more reserved and uncomfortable with the concept of going into any long conversations with people. And how did you get past this?
Well, passion. I did not ever think that, you know, as a child or a teenager, some would say that you would be on podcasts, on TV, on radio, I knew I had a book inside me. I always knew that even as a young child. I've always written, I write every day. It's a passion of mine. And, though to do public speaking, I never would have done it. And I've ran different programs and conferences and it's my passion. It's this love to share these practical strategies. And that's kind of how my mind works, is that if it's practical and it works, and of course I get that feedback back from my clients and from students, and then of course then I grab onto something like that and I want to share it. So it's that passion and the love that has got me past it. And thus, you know, doing a show like this, it's what I love to do the most, is if I can help one person, and I know that we're going to help more than one person with this show and with these strategies, then I know that I've added value today, and that's important to me.
Well, I love that. And it sounds like what you're talking about is sort of gaining mastery over your mind. Let's talk about how a person does that, either how you did it or how you help some of your clients gain that mastery that allows them to do whatever they choose.
Wow, that's such a big question. because my mind started firing on all different places. I want to, you know, I can answer, probably spend the rest of the hour talking about that. I think, you know, to make it succinct, is to slow down. And as much as that may even sound scary or maybe simple, we really need to slow down and listen to our innate self, our wisdom. And that comes back to each body is different. And when we slow down, and whether that's in nature and connecting, sitting on a rock, sitting by a river, perhaps cycling, or however that is for you, to slow down and really slow down, you know, more than just 10 minutes. I mean, that's how it starts small. However, we want to slow down and listen, and listening to our bodies, listening to those messages that we get, is going to be the beginning of going in that direction. And that actually happened to me too, before I even became a registered psychologist or psychotherapist, before I, you know, got all these degrees and wrote all these books. It was about noticing things, noticing I could change my mind, I could change channels, noticing that wait a minute, you know, I've got all my digits, noticing that I wake up every morning, and why am I not celebrating that? And it was that beginning of slowing down and then noticing, and then it really, those pivotal points started my journey of going, how can I really make these changes? How can I change my mind, my thinking? And as you know, Alan, we have 50 to 70,000 thoughts a day. And and most of those thoughts are repetitive. So we can change how we spend most of our time thinking or having thoughts. And that's a beginning.
You know, as you were saying that, my thoughts were that we are, I agree with you completely that's what it has taken. That's what it's taken for me and for so many other people, is to be able to have gratitude, to be glad that, you know, we have all of our fingers, that we have healthy children, that we have all of these things. How can we protect ourselves from the doom and gloom that is out there, that's being provided by, you know, everything from politicians to television, social media, algorithms that we now know through shows like the Social Dilemma, that the algorithms are literally set up there, that they've actually decided that it made sense to set up algorithms to take us on negative journeys. How do we protect ourselves from this?
You know what? That's a great question. And I do talk to my clients daily on that, and writing articles on that all the time. And, you know, and you got to know too, just because I'm a therapist, just because I'm here with you, doesn't mean that I'm any less susceptible to any of that, what you speak of. So, and, you know, in the last year and a half, have noticed the troughs that I landed in, and how did I get out? And here's the interesting part. And it comes back to, how do I manage my anxiety? And I mean, there were days, and this is years ago, where, you know, just getting up in the morning and putting one foot in front of the other was a difficult thing without wanting to throw up. I mean, that's what I lived with. And now, most of the time, I wake up with excitement, even with everything you've mentioned. So I've had to come back to that. And what is it? What does give me that resilience? And what can I teach my clients, right? What can I teach people and share? And so a big part of that is to be present. And we talk about that. And what does that actually mean? So when I get up in the morning and I'm looking outside, I live in a very beautiful area. And, you know, even if it's rainy and humid, which it has been, and it's really hard on my body, but my garden loves it. So it's again, going back to that place of presence. And, you know, I said to my friend, my bills are paid today. It's a fabulous day. And it's perfect. And because it's presence, it's right now. It's a perfect moment. And that's what's real. I mean, right now you and I are having this exchange, and it's perfect. And there's nothing wrong. We're fine. And it's to keep reminding ourselves of that. And here's, it comes back to those 50 to 70,000 thoughts. So yes, of course we need to be responsible. Of course we've got to create food and pay our bills and things like that. It doesn't have to consume us. And back to, how do we protect ourselves? And I hear you. I so hear you, because we're facing all of this, right? Without getting all political, is like, okay, what am I creating in my life today? What am I doing for a great life? And is it about learning sustainability? Is it learning to be a better gardener? Is it to consider how I'm networking with my friends? Is it, you know, so those are these practical things, because we don't want to ignore our anxiety. So if you're having anxiety about what's going on in the world, well, listen to it. And what is it that we can do about it? And then stay present. You know, enjoy your family, enjoy your kids, and help them with this sustainability as well. And the other piece, as much as I love media, which you and I are on, we need to limit it.
Yeah.
So I've just kind of watched that with myself. I want to be aware of what's going on and balance that. However, I do find I think I can limit a lot of it. So a lot of that is I'm in my garden, or I'm doing something on my property, or I'm cycling. I'm a cyclist. I do a lot of long distance cycling, or I go kayaking, or I'm walking with my friends. Anyways, those are just some things.
Well, and I think they're all great things. And when we talk about media, and one of the things that I talk about on this show, and I'm not trying to tell people, okay, you need to listen to my show. That isn't the idea. But the idea is that when you are taking in that information, think about what the goal is of the person providing it to you.
Okay? Right.
So if their goal is to capture your eyeballs long enough by scaring you, or by instilling fear, or doom and gloom, or whatever it is, ask yourself why. You know, if it's obvious that something is slanted in one direction, and it continues to slant in that direction, ask yourself why. And then at that point, make the decision, do I want to keep being manipulated? Because that's what's happening. And our show, which is our goal, and when I started this 12 years ago, was to be able to provide positive outlook, you know, on things that in some cases might be negative. But one of the things that I do, I return people that have been trafficked across the world. Okay, this is a horrific thing. I would not want somebody to watch a show every day on human trafficking. Okay, that would not be good. But we can do a show on it, and we can talk about the positive things that are happening to defeat it. Or I can have somebody on who's gone through it and has shown that they have created a great life for themselves.
Absolutely. And I love what you said about, you know, if it's instilling fear in you, and you've got to know our world shut down in Ontario, March 13th, 2020, everything got locked up. But I only watched a little bit of TV, about 15 minutes. And I'm a wordsmith because I'm a writer. I've written 4 books, and it's like, I hear the words. And again, so I'm encouraging my clients. I go, listen to the words, listen to the speculation, listen to the sensationalization. I've been in advertising. I understand, you know, and again, same questions that you're saying is, you know, be curious, question this, and what are the facts here? If you're not sure, write it on a piece of paper. And what does it mean when somebody says these 3 words, and what's underneath it? And the other interesting thing, and I want to come to a strategy on it, is when it's fear-based, and whatever you want to call that, and if you don't want to call it anxiety or stress, but they all kind of fit in there, is 90% of disease is caused by stress, and that's fear. And so then, and back to, you know, the opposite is love and gratitude. And so what I encourage people is, how do we raise our vibration? Because that's when we're going to build our resilience. That's when we're thinking better. And you mentioned this, you know, how do we manage our thinking? How do we think better? Well, I'm clearer when I'm in a love space. Mm-hmm. If I'm in anxiety, I'm not making good decisions. I can't even think. I can't hear my intuitive very well. Or if I'm angry, or if I've got these high emotional charges, I'm not in myself. I'm not in this center. And so a strategy again is, you know, how can we slow down? How can we be present? And gratitude, which I think is one of the most, I think it's one of the most simplest and most powerful tools to bring our vibration and our love vibration higher. And that's our health, right? Our mental health, spiritual health, physical health. So.
Yeah. I had a thought while you were talking about that. And it was an interview. I'm getting feedback, so Sam, if you can hear that, of my own voice. Anyway, it was an interview of a group of Quakers in a small town in Pennsylvania. And this was maybe a year ago now, because it was in the middle of COVID. And one of the questions that they asked was, you know, how badly has it affected them and stuff? And they said, well, it really hasn't. You know, we haven't had any problem, and so on and so forth. And so the interviewer says, well, what do you attribute that to? And the man says, we don't have television.
Yes.
I love
it. I get it. I get it. Yeah.
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 So, you know, one of the things that you you have in your book that I like, I'm a list maker. Okay. I like to check things off, you know, and stuff. You know, it's this feeling of accomplishment or something. And you talk about the importance of starting a checklist of the things that trigger our anxiety. And that isn't something I've ever made a list of. Okay. My lists are usually to-do lists and things like that. But a list that triggers our anxiety, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, and again, it always has that opposite. So what I learned about anxiety, and this is kind of the puzzling piece about it, what I learned was there's 11 layers to it. And, you know, at the beginning, when this became my journey and this discovery that I was doing with myself and my clients, because we worked together on it, and was that, you know, you figured one out and you just went, yes, and it got rid of the anxiety. Well, then the next day, wham, it was there again. And you went with that strategy, and then it didn't work. And so what I've learned is, so this checklist, which I can just briefly mention, though it does go into depth into Anxiety Warrior, both volumes. So chemical, which is substance. And I you can stop me and I can say, I'm going to list them first and then we can talk a little bit. So reality, what's on your plate, overstimulation. So FOMO, cell phones, the rapid text, you know, TV, all those things, social and cultural beliefs. Then that ties into self-doubt, and then this perfectionism. Perhaps having a character trait of highly sensitive, and then the deeper is the memories and the trauma. So a very layered, right? Very layered. And so understanding it, and it sounds, I don't want you to think that it's a big deal. It's not, because if you can understand it, and I do talk about it, like substance is something, you know, we can talk a little bit about that. But once you understand it, is understand your own limits and then build some strategies around it. And it's not that we have to memorize the strategies, but that's where the other checklist comes in, is what works for you, what builds your resilience, what keeps your vibration high. And you know, when you were talking about, you know, the politicians and what's going on and this negativity, well, when we feed our spirit and our mental and emotional and physical selves, we're going to be more resilient to know what we need to do the next day. Everything is unknown anyways past this moment. So if the more resilient we are, the more we understand, then we're going to know. We're going to know what we're going to do tomorrow, or, you know, maybe we have to learn canning. I don't know. But we're going to know what we need to do. So, does that help? And then we can, you know, flush out some of those if you like.
Well, yes. And actually, I'd love to flush out some of them, but I'd like to do it when we come back. So let's take a break. We are talking with the Anxiety Warrior, and you're listening to Answers Network. Stay with us. We'll be back in about 1 minute.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services and West Shield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
All right, and we are back. We are talking with the Anxiety Warrior, and we are talking about anxiety. We're talking about stress, and we're going to go into some of the area of the checklist, the things that we can do. We can have a checklist to learn what it is that triggers us, which then will set us up in a way that we can know that that's coming up and hopefully be better prepared for it. Does that sound about right?
Sounds great.
All right. So let's flesh that out a little bit.
So when I'll just start with how I do it, and then you can always modify it your own way. So I don't always wake up in, you know, a dancey mood. A lot of times I do now. I feel much better, of course. And sometimes I do wake up with anxiety, or it overcomes me shortly after wake up time. And so my first thing that I go through in my head is, what have I put in my body? How have I slept? So very physical. So here's a very simple one is we sweat a lot during the night and we're fasting. So what happens is our brain, if we have dehydrated, the brain actually sends signals of anxiety to the body. So having a little bit of water, doesn't have to be a lot. Just having that sip of water, within minutes, 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes, you're going to feel better if that is the solitary cause of the anxiety. And it's so interesting because many of my clients have adopted that, and they have lowered the level of their anxiety immensely just by that. So just noticing that water, when we're dehydrated, our brain will send signals of anxiety. So here's the thing, Alan, is, you know, I give this scale 0 to 10. So 0 is calm and no disturbance in your body. That's it. Just calm. Right. So 10 is, I cannot think. I'm outside of my window of tolerance. I'm not thinking. I'm not doing very well. So 0 to 10. So what we want to know in ourselves is, where are we? So that's part of the checklist, 0 to 10. Where are we? And I like to be around a 1 or 2, and that's what I am now. I'm excited. I'm happy, though I don't think I'm anxious because I'm talking about my passion. However, I'm not a 0. 0 is hanging out on the beach, chillaxing. So what happens is when I'm past that, so it's like if I'm coming up to a 3 or 4, I'm going, okay, what else is going on? Have I eaten something that has created anxiety? And so really understanding your own body. Mm-hmm. Something like coffee and caffeine. My brother, he can have chocolate and caffeine just before bed and he falls asleep. Wow. Me, if I even smell coffee or caffeine after 3:30, I'm awake all night because my body metabolizes different. So it's like noticing where your body's at and understanding. And, you know, we need good sleep. That's the other thing. And if you haven't slept well for 3 to 4 nights, your mental health is going to plummet. And that's how fast that goes. So the first thing I ask my clients when they come in is, how are you sleeping? Like, are you getting a really good night's sleep? And pretty much all of them say no. And so I say, okay, let's get that in order first. You know, sleep hygiene is super important. What does that look like for you? Right. And really looking at that. I mean, things like alcohol deplete us of water. I just wanted to throw that one in there. But so looking physically, you know, do you have sensitivities, food sensitivities? You know, what are you eating before bedtime, after supper? What does that look like? What are your sleeping habits? And maybe we need more exercise so that we are tired. I don't know, but we look at that. Those are kind of that checklist. And then the other thing, right, and that's why I have it way up front, is reality. Mm-hmm. what's on your plate? So part of that checklist is, so I sit there, once I've gone through, you know, what have I eaten? Did I eat something I shouldn't have? How did I sleep? Da, 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 all the way down. What's on my plate right now? Oh yeah, I've got a contractor coming. And because, not that it's a bad thing, but it, again, it adds to that layer of anxiety. So do I need to have something ready? Do I have appointments, right? Or maybe it's something else. Maybe, you know, you're waiting for a diagnosis. Maybe you're waiting for a mortgage approval, or perhaps it's a job interview. Perhaps it's going back to school, like right now. You know, the anxiety of going back to work or going back to school is huge. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean anything's wrong with you.
Right.
So it's like kind of looking at, you know, what are those layers? And sometimes life, it just brings, you know, four or five things and boom, there we are. So, you know, I have stories in my book of clients that have come with, you know, a whole raft and list of things on their list. And I sit there and I go, well, I would be anxious too, if I had that in my life, right? So looking at, you know, what's in your life, like what's happening right now, and then monitoring that or looking at that and even moving, or, you know, perhaps it's a new relationship or it's a relationship breaking down. All those things can cause stress and anxiety. And, you know, what's on your plate, like really looking at that. And does it mean you need to spend some time reflecting or perhaps paying that bill that's outstanding? Or, you know, if it's financial anxiety, is we got to face it, look at it and fix it. That's what anxiety is, tapping us on the shoulder and going, hey, pay attention. So it's learning how to do that.
Well, and you talk about it in the book, which I think is great. And these are great things to get people thinking along those lines. But you also talk about in the book, and if you can discuss, how can we break through the mental freezes and blocks? Because I think so many times we can get that list, we can start working on it, and then for some reason, something just freezes us or causes this block, and we can't explain it. And at times, and if we're intelligent enough to look at it and go, I know that there's something wrong here, but they still can't get past it. Share some of the same things, and I know you touch on it in the book, but share some of the things people can do that are listening that are going, I tried that, but I still have this block.
Yeah, and that's a really, really good question. And thank you for that. And that's, I've experienced that too many times.
I think we all have.
it's a hard one. And you're right. And I think the people that even recognize they have the block, because I remember when I had it and I was frozen. And you're right, that's what it is. I remember just staring, sitting and staring, and hours would go by. And it is a real freeze. And so to get out of that, again, it's putting one foot in front of the other. And I know that sounds simple, but here's the thing. So sometimes it's about just doing what you know. And there's so many situations that I can think of, but we can pick one, anyone, sure, as an example. So, you know,
let me give you one, because I think that there are some people, there's the one kind of freezing to where you just can't do anything. You're locked up and you're frozen. But the other kind that I think is much more prevalent is, it seems to just be that thing to where you can still do other things. So I think people don't realize that they're even locked up, because, okay, I can still do this. I can still eat. I can still drive. I can still do something, but I can't for some reason do this. And yet that's what I need to be doing.
Can you give me an example? Do you have an example? Because that helps me. Because I'm. So do you mean the mental freeze is to apply for that job that you want? Is that what you mean?
I can cook. I think that would be a good one. And especially right now, okay, with everything that's going on. Well, or just have it as go back to work. You know, that they seem to be able to do everything else, but can't do that one thing. And for some reason, it's a block. And I think that we mentally start going into, you know, is this because I really shouldn't be doing this or because I should be doing something else? And, but it could also be something as simple as, you know, they need to pick up the phone and call their mother, you know, or just something that they're just not doing. You know, how do we get past that kind of block to where they seem like they're functioning just fine in everything else but that?
Yeah, and it is a bigger question for sure. And I'm thinking about it as you're saying it. And, you know, sometimes it means contacting a coach. So mm-hmm. not always a therapist. You know, it doesn't mean there's something actually that you need to heal or dig deeper in, however it may be. So if you're that stuck, and the other thing, which is interesting, is, you know, when we do have a block like that, so let's just say it is about going back to work or to a certain workstation, is maybe we need some support. Mm-hmm. So that might mean calling a friend or a coworker and saying, hey, can we go in together because I'm, you know, well, whatever is comfortable to say. You may not want to say mm-hmm. that you're nervous to go into work, but, you know, can we do this together? Because guaranteed that if you're feeling this, other people are as well. And so sometimes doing that with somebody, that support, that's helpful. The other thing mm-hmm. is also to maybe contemplate as to what's underneath. Is there a belief system that's stopping us? And we do have social and cultural beliefs. You know, maybe we should do something or we must do something, yet our body is screaming no. And this could be just with, I can give an example is, I work with first responders and sometimes it's enough. They've had enough of dealing with trauma or going in there and doing these difficult calls. Their body is literally screaming at them, enough already. I can't do this anymore, or I need a break. So, you know, is it about that? Is it, you know, is the freeze part of your body saying, this isn't the right time? So mm-hmm. sometimes it's just that. I don't know if I've helping there. I'm just wondering yes. if I'm on track here yeah. or if you've got a situation. I'm happy to talk about it. You know, if you've got an example.
No, I was just thinking, I mean, one of the things that we do is, you know, one of our companies is we work with at-risk youth and many of them will say, you know, I know that, you know, I shouldn't, you know, do that drug, or I know that I should go home, or I knew that I should have gone home. I knew that I should have called my parents, but I just couldn't bring myself to, you know, or just different things to where it's going through your mind. I know that I should, but for some reason, something was holding me back. So I was trying to, just from the standpoint of okay. listeners, to come up with some ideas of things so that for the person out there that goes, yeah, that's me. I've run into that. But we do also have some listener questions, and I'm looking, I want to make sure we get all these in time.
Okay.
This one reads, as a fifth grade teacher, I can't tell you how frustrating it has been trying to teach my students online. This age group just does not have the attention span or focus to stay on track. The lack of a structured environment, such as provided in a classroom setting, puts us all at a disadvantage. Not only are the kids suffering from anxiety, but many of us teachers have as much or more of the same feelings going on. I was wondering if your book would be one I could share with our administration as recommended reading for educators, and would it be a good one for parents who might be able to translate some of these principles to their children? And then they say, you know, we need tools. And so far, even my own meditation practice isn't giving me the calm I need. I need to be able to do my job. And that's from Janelle in Georgia.
So there's, yeah, a lot of questions. Great.
Yeah,
questions.
I know.
And yes. And I have talked to teachers groups. I've gone into schools. And yes, the strategies are very practical, translatable, and I do recommend them for parents as well. So they can do these strategies with children. And And I agree. And you know, one of the things that's really important, and we talk about this, is sometimes, like so often we hear, when you have anxiety, to sit and breathe. And honestly, I'd rather put my hands or fists through a wall. And so what we need to do is, when we have this heightened anxiety, we got to lower it a little bit before we get to that place we can breathe. So it may mean some activity. So here's the thing, and it translates back to these grade five kids. We weren't made to sit in front of a screen for 6 hours. I'm having that too with our kids up here, and you know, they're hating it. It's all over the place, which I can appreciate. So here's the thing: is we need to move. We are made to move. So let's take a break. You know, go outside. Go do your recess, go take 15 minutes, run around your house, or make a game out of it, make a competition out of it. Or maybe it's about finding certain leaves or certain plants and involving nature and movement and bringing that back to your computer and bringing it back to your classroom. Because I understand, you know, so how do you work with these limits? So we do exercises, we play games online. Mm-hmm. And try to have some fun with it. And that's how we start to move through that anxiety. And we need to have that activity to lower it, even if it's a notch or two. And then we can go into, you know, that meditative place. And just with this teacher, I just want her to know that if I wake up and I have this anxiety, I'm not always ready to do my gratitude journal and my intentions and affirmations. So I need to work through in my journal, and I've got to bring myself to that spot. So we can do that. We can do that. So I hope I'm answering it. I can talk more, but I'm going to go by your cue, Alan.
Yeah. No, I think not only did you cover it, but I think it also opens up some other ideas for them, because as you were speaking, I was thinking, okay, you know, can the teacher take the kids through, you know, through some meditation, you know, before and after the class? Or can the teacher then be in a position to say, okay, I know that there's still 15 minutes left in our supposed time that we're supposed to be on here, but I'm going to ask all of you to go run 3 laps around your house and come back, you know, or something, you know, that you know, I think we're going to have to get creative. Now, I'm hoping that that it doesn't continue, obviously, and that, you know, the kids are going to be able to do what they need to do. But yeah, I think you're giving them, you know, possibilities of things to do that can help, and that's all we can do right now.
Yeah, and I think as a teacher, and I'm a facilitator as well, is so our goal is to raise that vibration, and we're going to learn better. And actually, I talk about that in Loving Your Life, and that how do we create that space to be creative? I mean, it's not just waking up and feeling creative. It doesn't work that way. So we got to do warm-ups, just like sports. We do stretches and warm-ups. We can do that mentally. We can do that spiritually. So how do you do your warm-ups? And so with her, you know, what she can do is maybe remember, and I think this is a great opportunity for us to remember that as we raise our vibration, as we raise the vibration of these children, they're going to learn quicker. And I've done that. There's programs where kids have skipped grades because we raised their vibration, we stimulated their creativity, so the left brain and the right brain were working together instead of just the left brain struggling on its own and the right brain feeling very starved. So I want to assure that teacher that when she invests in the creativity and these activities and delighting the kids, they're going to be in such a different frame of mind. And that investment of the 20 minutes or the hour, because the teachers have such a pressure on curriculum, right? Mm-hmm. And all these standards and levels, that investment is so worth it. And she's going to notice that they're going to jump. Their intelligence will jump. They'll be putting things together. and it's so exciting, and I'm just getting rushes like crazy. So
that's great. And I love the fact that you brought up the left brain, right brain, because I instantly started thinking about Malcolm Gladwell and all kinds of stuff. But we are just about out of time. There's a comment that came in, and again, I want to thank those that take the time to give comments. This says, I love the title of your book and was so happy to see it in Kindle. I am heading to Baja California for a 10-day respite from the stress of my job as a PR and fundraising director for a nonprofit working with the homeless. Times have never been tougher, not only in how enormous the need is, but because of how difficult it is to find funding. I will be reading your book during my vacation, as I know I carry a lot of fear from these months of struggling to keep the organization afloat. Everyone I work with, as well as my family and friends, could benefit from this message to get past the fear of what trauma lies ahead. I will be listening to the show if I can get online, but for sure afterwards. This is from Tamara in Pennsylvania.
Nice. Thank you, Tamara.
Yes. But what I would say, and we're unfortunately out of time, but can you share real quickly best places to get the books, best places to get in touch with you, be it email or website or what?
Probably the easiest one. We just ramped up anxietywarrior.ca. That's the easiest one. It's got links to the books. It's got links to me. It's got lots of freebies on there. We did it free so people don't have to register, because my thing is, if you got anxiety, you don't need extra steps. And it's got so many resources there. And I just, that's probably the easiest. And people are welcome to contact me. And it's such a pleasure. Thank you, Alan. And I know we could spend another hour.
I know. I know. This is wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on. But also, thank you for everything that you're doing.
Well, thank you too. Back at you. And this is so valuable. So appreciate it and very honored. Thank you.
You're welcome. For everybody out there, be with us next Monday when we're joined by Erica Mather to discuss her new book, Your Body, Your Best Friend: End the Confidence-Crushing Pursuit of Unrealistic Beauty Standard and Embrace Your True Power. So for everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
Hello, I'm Marty Cove. You might remember me from roles such as Sensei in the Karate Kid films. I've done over 100 films and countless stunts in my career, and I've always given 100%. With the damage done to my body over time, I needed to find relief from my chronic pain. My passion for health and fitness drove me to find a natural way to combat muscle pain. Teaming up with doctors, detectives, and a compounding pharmacist, we've created Marty's Cobra Cove Ultra Strength CBD Cream. It's the only thing that has been strong enough to knock out my pain, and fast. Honestly, you may have tried the rest, but it's time to try the best. It's legal, it's safe, and 100% effective. Show your pain no mercy. Go to www.martyscobracove.com.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.